I was born on 27th of March, so that's 10 days before. I knew exactly about the genocide and what happened to my family when I was almost 12. My dad passed away when I was only 10 days. So my mom could tell me that my dad has gone outside of the country to look for better life, and he's the one sending us food. But yeah, the time I started getting to know a lot about the genocide, that's the time you start asking more. And when you see what horrible things that happened, and you tell yourself that you should make sure this will never happen again. But yeah, that was the feelings, I could say.
Now, you're a visual storyteller, and one of your projects is about people who, like you, were born in 1994, and it's called I'm a Survivor. Can you tell me more about that project and what inspired you to make it?
So I'm a survivor. Is a project that I started back in 2017, where I invited almost 25 young people that have the same experience as me and the same past as me. The whole idea was to ask them if they get a chance or an opportunity to send a letter or a message to the people they have lost, what they could tell them.
Was there a particular example of one of these letters that really moved you?
One of the guy, he was sending a message to his father whom he lost. This guy, he was 23 already by 2017, and he was having a child, and he was so proud. It was just mostly he looks like he wants to have a really good family, but imagine you never grew up with your father. You don't know what father means, but you're the new generation. Now you have a kid and you have to learn. You have to learn, And that was kind of messages that I wanted to, because my whole idea, myself too, I was wondering if my father, whatever he is, if he's proud of me where I am right now. That was my question. It's a lot, so not sending the message, but also asking the questions how they feel about us to the people they left behind.
So it sounds like a lot of the things that people were proud of, these children of victims of the genocide, was the fact that they were able to continue living in a way that would make their parents proud. They would continue to live and not just lose all hope. Yeah. So another part of your project is this series of photos of these survivors. They're dressed in different traditional outfits. Could you tell us a little bit more about what they're wearing in these portraits, which I should say they're black and white portraits, kind of oval shaped, which reminds me a lot of photos from the early 20th century.
My experience is the genocide didn't affect only Rwandans or Rwanda only. It also affected the whole continent. There is a people that we have lost, but there is a people also who migrated in different countries, and they have adopted different cultures. And those people, they belong to us, even though we lost them. Maybe they are still alive or not, but we lost them. So I tried to adopt additional dresses from different culture background around the continent and try to dress them like that. The reason why was I didn't want to use only Rwandan traditional clothes, where someone will see the photos and they will point, "Oh, this is Rwanda." No, because I wanted something that people could see and ask themselves questions, just to question themselves. And also to create a dialogue, and also something that really fits with the stories that I wanted to tell.
One that really struck me is of a young woman who she has a, it looks like a really thick, dark jacket on with a stripe down each sleeve. And she has a white cloth over her head that's about as big as a handkerchief would be, but it's transparent so you can still see her features. And it's bound up in her hair and kind of close fitting and just goes below the chin. And she has her head turned as if she's going to look in a different direction, even though her body is facing the camera, but she has her eyes closed. What was going on in that photo? What was happening while you were taking it?
She lost both the parents, and I wanted to create an image that defines that. So I wanted to combine both of the parents in one image, but how can you draw that, you know? And also, I wanted to capture the feelings, because I asked her, how do you feel? How do you think? How do you think that your parents were looking like during their wedding? Do they ever have their weddings? Do you have any experience or an image, or does anyone told you how it was, you know? So then I captured that photo exactly at that moment that she was trying to connect or reconnect with her past.
You've said in previous interviews that part of your goal as a photographer and as an artist is to change the image of Rwanda so that the world sees this beautiful country that you love, and
Yes.
so that the world doesn't always think of the genocide when it thinks of Rwanda. But yet you did this project. Did you not see that as a contradiction to your own goals?
It's still the same goal. Being an artist should really like give you a limitation to how you express yourself. So I, this is a lot. So my past, I'm connected to. It's my experience. It's something that I wanted to push out. It's a platform that I wanted to create because I felt like it was needed. But it doesn't drive my work or myself into that. I don't have the same mission as I do. As I explained, this I'm a survivor. It also shows where Rwanda is today through young people. Through young people, through this new generation, through those who were born during that hard time for the country. So it's still the same.
So you're an artist and you've worked with different media. You've done some video. You've also you're also active in the Kigali music scene, and you're a self-taught photographer, and the bulk of your work is photography. So what is it about photography that drew you to it and continues to draw you to it?
The reason why I do this, to be honest, we lost people and we lost many things during the genocide. So the families lost their albums, their archives, their pictures, and that has already affected us in different way. So for us young generation, we don't have that bigger image of how's Rwanda before 1994. And the whole idea of my mission is I don't want my grandchildren to go through the same. I want them to see how's the situation.
Well, you've gotten a lot of positive reception. You've worked for publications like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and AFP. You are also heavily involved in the arts in Kigali and do a lot to support local photographers, helping provide them free workshops. You even have taught photography to kids who live on the streets. A lot of what you do seems to be very civic-minded. But do you think you'll ever reach a point where you feel like your job is done, you've achieved what you wanted to, and you're going to go do something just for yourself?
That's very hard. I always want to see myself in the next maybe 10, 20 years. How am I gonna feel about the photos that I'm taking right now? And this seems like music is driving me somewhere else, but I don't think that I will ever feel like no. Rwanda grows every day. So I need to grow with this country. I need to documenting more. I don't see anything that is gonna stop me, and I don't see any time that I will ever feel like it's enough for what I did. No.
Jacques Kinzengabo is a visual storyteller based in Kigali, Rwanda. He's behind a number of projects about Rwandan life, including I'm a Survivor, about the generation born in 1994. He joined us from Kigali via Skype. Jacques, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having me.